Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hey, Julia here. If you'd like to grow your agency with a new free traffic source, we've put together a free resource for you called the Agency Traffic Blueprint, which outlines how you can acquire free organic traffic for your agency's website using Powered by Marketing. You can get that at getrubyrobin.com/blueprint or check the description of this episode for the link.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. My guest today is Braden Cruz, who is the founder and CEO of Sooner Marketing Solutions. Today, we're going to be discussing Braden's journey of building his agency and what he's learned along the way. So thanks so much for joining us today, Braden.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good, doing really well. Excited to have you here today.
Me too.
So to get started, let's dive into a couple questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit.
Okay, let's do it.
So what would you say really motivates or inspires you as an entrepreneur?
I don't know. Some of the most common questions that I've tossed back and forth. I don't know if it's necessarily one thing, but freedom, money are some of the most common ones that people are like, oh, I want to be a small business owner, or I want to be an entrepreneur and I want freedom, right?
Yeah.
Which either from what I've seen, what I've heard, some personal experience, it either takes practice, experience and time, which is not something that's just random and just happens. It's magical, and you put out a product or a service and then take off and you're done, you're freedom forever. Some people, they get lucky enough to where that does happen, but it is rare. For me, I love the journey and the process of building relationships and processes. I love the challenges, which is one of the things I really love about not being super niche in the clientele that we serve, for multiple reasons. One, I feel like that if we're in a really tight niche and that industry tanks, there I go too. I like to diversify between a handful of different industries. So then it's always a different challenge with those industries, right?
Yeah.
Different hierarchies of businesses within those industries. So some may be small and startup, and some of them may be enterprise. It's always exciting to kind of be able to have those challenges. That really excites me as an entrepreneur, is to be able to, like I said, build those relationships, build the process, and be able to work with people that are smarter than me, that I can surround myself with to learn from. And I've always heard that if you're the smartest person in the room, you're never learning or growing.
Yes.
So I always want to try to spend part of my time being with those people that want to learn and are eager to learn, that want to be with the smarter people. And maybe I am that to some people, but then I also try to put myself into situations to where I am the dumbest person. With you, if they were to ask me a question, I'd be like, I've got no clue. I don't know.
Yeah.
And of course I could probably take my best shot at an answer, but in those moments, that's where I really absorb and learn.
Yes. When you've got that network of people that you're really, striving to, be where what they've accomplished, be more like that. It's always, stretching you out of that comfort zone and helping you to grow as a professional and as an individual. So yeah, I think it's really important to have that aspect to your network. And yeah, very cool. So Braden, how did you get into digital marketing?
Let's see. I'll go back to 2012 when I graduated. Got my graduation present, was a one-way ticket to New York City, and got a laptop and a little bit of cash. It was probably $200. At the time, my uncle lived there, and I paid my way to live with him for a little under a year while I was there. I worked for a handful of different agencies, including his as well. That's how he kind of got me into the whole marketing realm. And I'd always been, I've always loved sales. And so one of the cool things about marketing is it's like the very beginning of attracting somebody's attention in order to be able to ask for the sale, whether that's an e-commerce or whether that's, you know, retail or restaurant or whatever it is. And so marketing is trying to figure out ways to sell better and to get somebody's attention to build sale, right? So when I was up there, I worked for him, did some things in the office, in the warehouse, out in the field, doing some street team activations, whether that's Famous Footwear, assisted opening some stores for Sephora in Manhattan when they remodeled their stores, to doing some Coca-Cola stuff, Daily Coffee Company. I've had a little experience with them. And then afterwards, my experience kind of continued as well with doing some more activations and events and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And that continued with Cox Communications with their Flair Play activations, State Farm, Kodak, Canon. There's some other health and wellness companies too, to where they were like, hey, like, there's an event going on. Can you go to that event, take some of our swag, set up a table in a booth, and hand out samples? Yeah. And so I was like, yeah, like, really do that. So that's kind of like the event and experiential activations, those kind of terminologies. That's kind of like what that means. So anytime like you see a big like State Farm tent, that's what they would consider like an activation.
Got it. Okay. Very cool.
Yeah. And so those are really cool. And that's like your experiential marketing, where you like get an opportunity to experience the brand. And that's the stuff that I really love doing. That's really fun, getting out in the field. It is very, hourly, time consuming. It's not something, it's just plug and play and you're done. And so it started out with that, and then it kind of turned into like, I'm gonna do social media. So started with Facebook, a little bit of Instagram, and there wasn't like a, you know, TikTok or Snapchat or anything. Back then it wasn't really crazy. So I worked with a coffee shop, a chocolate shop, an IT company. And then I was doing some of their social media stuff, and then it turned into, okay, well, I'm gonna start doing some websites, and started building websites. And then it was like, okay, well, I'm gonna quit my job. And then I'm just gonna work for myself now. And so I built up enough,
So you were doing all of these things just on the side when you were working for your uncle's company?
When I left in, November of 2012 and came back and had a job working at a chocolate shop and a coffee shop.
Oh, got it. Okay. Okay.
And that's when I still continued to work for some of those agencies that had events in Tulsa and things that I could do locally.
Okay. Yeah.
And then I started doing social media and websites.
And that's awesome. It
carried into like SEO and stuff after that. Yeah.
So, and then, so that's when Sooner Marketing Solutions was born, around that time.
Yep, it was. I went off by myself in 2014. I had a business partner at the time too, and then a year or two later, that was it. 2014, we were under a different name, and then in 2016, we're like, well, let's just try to encompass like all these things that we do instead of just thinking that we're going to do websites. Let's try and come up with a name that's like, I don't know, marketing solutions, but where we try to create sooner results, not later problems. It's kind of like one of the taglines we've used too.
Very cool. So when you were first starting out in the early days, what were some challenges that you had to overcome?
I think one of the biggest challenges that I think I've always had in the beginning, and even somewhat a little bit today, but it's gotten a lot better. I think it's come down to my experience that I've had hiring and firing employees, contractors, and companies that I've tried to work with to try to scale and grow. I've had kind of a different perspective when it comes to the social media management side of stuff. There's a lot of companies who will charge $99 a month to manage your social media. And let's say they even post 30 times a month, but all that's so generic, right?
Right.
They just use stock photos or some cool, some of them can be some really cool designs from like Canva or whatever. But then a lot of people nowadays, especially over the last couple of years, they want to see unique user generated content.
Yes.
So like that doesn't work anymore. But back then, that's kind of some of the stuff that I tried to figure out how to do that wasn't just me, because I was getting so busy. I was like, okay, well, I need to figure out how to try to delegate and automate. And the whole conversation is like, how do I build this process to where it's no longer just me? I never really had, I haven't had a mentor to stick with me this whole time. In the beginning, I did have like a consultant that I worked with for a little while. And a couple business partnerships that went sour, wish would have helped the way that the picture was painted, but it's not the case. So that's definitely one of the challenges too. I would say, let me put this into something short. Trying to validate the people that you work with, whether it's an employee, a contractor, a business partner, or a potential business partner, for me, I feel like has been extremely difficult. And I don't know if it's because sometimes I tend to build a relationship with someone a little too quick and trust them a little too early. But sometimes a lot of people paint a really good picture, right?
Yeah,
I can say, absolutely. Hey, you know, I look like this, I sound like this, and you should be able to do this with me. And you're like, okay, yeah, this sounds like a great idea and stuff. And so I wouldn't call myself a naive person. I'm more street smart than I am book smart, from what I'm told. And I would agree with that too, but trying to validate and build a process, validate people that you work with, contractors, other companies to maybe help you deliver a service with, that's been difficult. And experience and being able to validate those people nowadays has been a lot easier over the last 3 or 4 years. But
right.
The first 3 or 4 years, I think it's like, you're just kind of, you get excited about the grind, you get excited about the hustle and building this and the potential of freedom, the potential of money, right? And then when your subcontractors or when these other companies or your employees even, they don't deliver, that's your name. they're coming to you for answers or refunds or lawsuits, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So what are some of those red flags that you look for, you know, with a subcontractor now, so that you're able to, you know, pivot quickly and ensure that those incidents aren't going to be turned into hangups down the road?
One of the number one things I look for is communication. If you can communicate in a timely manner and communicate properly, and, there's been people I've worked with overseas and there's been people I've worked with here locally. Mm-hmm. Some of them communicate really well. Some of them absolutely terrible. So, like, we message them, like you pay them $1,000 as a deposit on a project to help you out with, and you won't hear from them for a week. And you're like, hey man, like I just dropped $1,000 to help, you know, have you help me out. And they just kind of disappear. So like stuff like that has happened too. And then there's some people or companies with the communication part where, you've played telephone, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tried to communicate a message from one person to another and somewhere along the way it gets misconstrued, right? Like something gets misunderstood or whatever. And that sometimes that could be your fault. Sometimes that could just be the person that you told misunderstood what you said. So trying to figure out the proper communication and how they work and all that stuff is really important too. And nowadays, like we kind of fixed a lot of that with using ClickUp. So we keep communications between the client and let's say I'm the middleman between my videographer or my social media manager. That conversation gets put in as soon as possible as the conversation ends with a client. It gets put into the same task or the software, the system that social media manager or that person uses. So it's fresh on the mind. The notes are right then and there. They don't get logged somewhere in an email and get lost. And it's all start to finish. So it's like, here's the proposal. Here's the conversations that we had. Here's the documents that were signed. Here's the conversations that we've had after that. Here's what somebody that worked on it said. And it's all like there in a timeline. You know,
yeah, so that's really smart.
Communication was really important too. One of the things I look at, in MySpace, I feel like creativity is really important too. I think with a lot of marketing companies, the difference is I've heard a lot of companies are like, what, you know, we want to work with somebody that's that's creative and thinks outside the box and comes up with wild ideas and stuff, right? And so people that I work with, you know, I try to find people that are creative, that think outside the box, that try to innovate. I think that's really important.
Right.
Any past experiences or projects that they've worked on is also another thing that I consider. You know, hey, what kind of projects have you worked on that maybe are similar to this, right? Or have you worked with another agency before? And what was your experience like? What did you like? What did you not like? Okay, maybe a lot of people didn't work with an agency, they worked with somebody. And it's just a little different. So when I think of an agency, it's like more of like a premium level. Like the price is not $100 a month, it's $1,000 a month. And there's reasons behind that. It's because of the time, the processes, and the people that are in place to be able to deliver the quality service that they're expecting needs to be at that price point. And that's, I think, one of the good points when I listened to Sam Littlefield, is that's one of the things that he was pointing out too. He was talking about having good revenue and bad revenue and stuff, you know, but I don't want to get off on a tangent. So I think that's some of the three things that I look at, you know, is communication, creativity, and experience.
Awesome. All great points. I love that. And so I'd love to talk a little bit about agency growth now. So, you know, how are you working to grow the agency and bring in more leads into your agency and then close those prospects?
You know, that's actually a good question, because that's one of the things that we've had the hardest time this year, opposed to the last several years. In the beginning of the year, for the first 3 or 4 months, it was good. We were getting leads throughout the month for the first, like I said, 3 or 4 months. And then I don't know if it's recession, I don't know if it's just Tulsa in general, or what it is, but you know, there's so many marketing people out there. We're almost kind of getting the same rap as construction contractors. Have you ever heard stories about the tile guy or the roofer or the paver or landscaper or whatever it is? Usually not landscaping, but it's usually like these construction contracting guys that do remodels and whatnot. A lot of them will just, again, kind of be the face and then sub it out to the same group of people. And eventually someone's going to get the bad rap. So,
yeah.
But there's so many of them. So it's like, how do you know who to pick? Which again kind of comes back to the whole creativity and experience and proof of performance. And
yes,
that's one of the things I feel like that we try to do as well as possible. So we try to show, hey, here are some real results without giving the farm away about everything about the client, right? Because maybe they're competitors or whatever it is.
Yep.
We try to tell them, hey, we think outside the box and be as transparent and communicative as possible. Mm-hmm. And as the bonus, we love for clients to be educated. How can they make decisions if they're not educated? So I'm all kind of relying this into, how do we scale, grow the business, and generate leads?
Yeah.
It's a number of different ways. I've had a handful of leads come from blog posts. From different categories.
That's awesome.
Anything from cannabis to talking about social media to construction. They'll find the blog posts. I've got one I just looked at yesterday. In the last year and a half, it's got 500,000 views and still ranks on the top 3 search results for. It's about
very cool. That's awesome.
So there's some cool things like that hit the mark, and we've gotten some leads from that. There's some that we've got from social media, but not a whole lot this year. Most of ours really comes from trying to do our best to build a relationship with the client.
Yeah.
And that when someone goes, hey, who's doing your social media? Like, it's really good. I'm like, oh, you know, those Sooner guys. and then
just getting those referrals.
And those points that I mentioned about educating our clients on things, from anything from terminology to be able to understanding reports and things like that, to understanding how marketing works. It's it's marketing, not magic. So a lot of it can take time to be able to curate, to be able to figure out data, to be able to benchmark in order to create goals and all that kind of stuff. So Yeah, I really try my hardest to build a relationship with everyone that we work with, so then they become promoters. And that's where, I guess you could say, that's where I spend a lot of my marketing dollars or time and energy and efforts, as I'm trying to take somebody out to lunch, or I'll stop by and try to bring somebody coffee, things like that, you know, and just try to stay top of mind, do little things to look out for them and say, hey, you know, have your hours changed? It's Thanksgiving's coming up, you know, are you going to be open or are you going to be closed? Like, I need to make sure so-and-so knows to update your hours on A, B, and C, D. Because yeah, right, in the back of their mind, it's crossed, but they're not they're looking out for themselves and their business. But if they had somebody that just, you know, took a little extra step every now and then, they're going to feel, oh, okay, I can breathe. I hired these guys. They're going to have it taken care of, you know.
Exactly.
I had a client yesterday say that when they had an ad a month or so, a couple ads that were rejected because they're in a special ad category.
Mm-hmm.
And, she freaked out at first. She's like, oh my God, my ads are being rejected. We're like, it's okay. Like, that's because, you know, we're going to have to put you in a special ad category. We're trying to hope that we didn't have to, but you know. And then yesterday she was like, okay, you know, I saw that and I just realized that you guys got it.
That's awesome.
And she's giving us some referrals too, which is cool. So,
yeah. So you're just able to help, you know, build that trust by delivering those results, going above and beyond for your clients. And in turn, you know, they're going to bring you those referrals.
Yeah. And of course, like we do our own social media marketing. We do our blog posting, we do our own SEO, and we do all that kind of stuff too. We sponsor some events throughout the year, including like a local organization called Soldiers Wish, which is really cool. So,
That's awesome. Very good. So what is, would you say, the key to, you know, keeping your clients happy?
It's a good question. I don't know if it's necessarily one thing. Yeah. It kind of goes back into some of the previous conversations that I've had that I was mentioning on some of those points with doing some little things that make a big impact.
Mm-hmm.
Like in our monthly marketing reports, we try to show 30 days and then 90 days so they can see a trend. And then we just added marketing terms at the bottom. You know, I had a couple of people reach out to me and go, hey, I just saw that in my marketing report. I think that's so cool that you added in a list of details of terms and then explained what they meant. So then I can better understand what's happening.
Okay. You know, so you just really dial in that communication and make sure that they're crystal clear about what it is that you are delivering to them.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. I think communication is so important and just managing those expectations so that there's no confusion down the road.
Yeah. Continually managing expectations is extremely important. There's a landscaping company that we started working with it was last summer.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't really talk to them a whole lot. It was just the way things were. It's not because we didn't want to, it's just because they just didn't see it was a priority, right? They're like, yeah, we hired some people to make some posts on our Facebook page. Basically, that's how they saw it, right?
Yeah.
And we don't have to worry about it. Well, then they realized, they're like, you know, we're not making any money from this. We need to cut some expenses, right? And we had this conversation. We're like, well, you're not making any money from it because we're not able to come out and take any photos or make any videos, or we're not doing any ads. You know, you just told us you didn't want to do any of that. So we're coming back to you with a similar recommendation and then some. You know, if you were to, you know, take your budget from this to that, it would make a big difference. And it did. In about 3 weeks, he started getting leads left and right on Facebook and phone calls and form submissions and it's funny too, like we'll have conversations and he'll be like, you know, we switched to a more of a hiring focus in July, I believe, but the leads started to disappear because we were targeting different people. And he was like, oh shoot, I need my leads back. So we were like, okay, well then we'll stop trying to focus on hiring and start to focus on leads. But continually managing expectations and communication is really important. And the only way you can manage expectations is through communication. So, man, communication. I'd say that that's like the most important thing, because then with that, you can outline everything else. And if I remember this, I'll point it out, because it was really cool when I reached out to a bunch of clients and I said, what was the most important thing to you? Is it money? Is it budget, money, price, or is it communication? or is it performance? I think I gave him five options. I can't remember the other two, but almost everybody said communication. Only one guy said price.
Interesting. That's really interesting. Yeah. It just goes to show, if it's a headache to work with a company, no one wants that. Right. But when it's easy and you understand what's both parties are clear on what those expectations are and that communication is dialed in, it's such a much more pleasant working experience for both parties.
Yeah. And I'm trying to change the relationship in general with our industry. That's like just hire and forget, or hire and go through a 1-800 number, or have to email your account manager. I think it's really important as a business owner to have people that they know that are there to support them when they need them. And so if you can pick up the phone and call and get a hold of somebody to answer a question, if it's urgent, you need to be able to do that. Or text, or, somebody's name that I know, hey, I'm gonna call Braden. Hey, I'm gonna call Bobby. When it comes to video, I'm gonna call Devin. I've got these people around me that can support me based on what I need at the time.
Yeah, absolutely. So important. So where do you see Sooner Marketing Solutions in 5 years' time?
In the next 5 years, I expect us working with some more of the medium to large, more of the medium sized businesses. So a lot of our clients are in the small business, which is fine. I love small business, and I think I always will have a passion for small business and helping and supporting. But I want to be able to broaden our reach and our work to some of the larger companies to have the opportunities to do some of the things that I used to when I first started, like with the activations and the experiential marketing and the events and trade shows and stuff like that too. Because I really enjoy that, and there's not a whole lot of people that do that. And there's some companies that I've experienced that it is a wild headache on the agency side when it comes to doing those events and activations. And so I know the process, and I know I can't be perfect at it. Nobody can be. But that stuff is really fun. So that's where I'd like to be in 5 years. I still like the digital stuff, photo, video, social, web, like all that is really great. Mm-hmm. But it is kind of saturated. anybody can pick up a phone and take a picture and put it on Facebook. It's not rocket science. Anybody can make a recording, put it on TikTok. Like, I can outsource anything I want to Fiverr or to Upwork. And everybody has those resources and those tools and those DIY abilities. So you've got to be able to shift. I believe in the next 5 years, I've got to be able to shift to be able to accommodate the lack of what is it? I'm losing loss for words. To where there's the lack of expertise or support in that area, and it's undersaturated, right? Does that make sense? So that's where I was thinking about doing more of the experiential and events and activations in 5 years and going after the larger markets for that.
So you really want to set yourself apart from other agencies and make yourselves, unique in the service offerings that you have available.
Yeah. And I've got experience in every marketing area. I mean, I don't care if it's radio, billboard, TV, print, events, SEO, like call tracking, email marketing, text message marketing, like whatever it is, I've done a little bit of something with all of them. And my favorite is still the experiential side. And there for a time, it was almost kind of like still trying to, I think we'll try for a little bit longer, just try to become the full service, like the department. So it's like, hey, I know you and you're going to handle all of my marketing. You can make sure that everything is consistent across the board and it's all seamless. And, what happens on my social media comes to my websites, gets referred to a video that goes to this link and that has a call tracking number and my emails are automated there. And this is how it connects to my CRM system. And, we have campaigns. So whenever you do a billboard, this does that and it changes out every time. You know what I mean? So like whenever you have to communicate that between 10 different agencies or 10 different people, it's a lot more difficult than it is to have communications with one person, almost kind of like a marketing director or marketing manager.
Absolutely. I think that we
have to have those in-house and save these companies from having to pay their taxes and insurance and payroll. And instead you have one bill, one invoice, and one contact to take care of all the marketing stuff. And to be able to build that, I understand is going to take time, but I think that would be really cool to be able to build that in 5 to 10 years, is to say, you know, hey, here's my budget. help me grow my business. Okay, you're assigned a marketing manager. Now, the rest of this budget, we need to do some ads, we need to do some campaigns here, we need to do some maintenance. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Very cool. I love that you have plans to really build yourselves out into a full service marketing agency in the next 5 years. So yes, it's very cool. So we are getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first we have the fast five. So I've got 5 rapid fire questions for you.
Okay, so let's go.
What's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
Do you mind if I give you 3?
Go right ahead.
Okay, so I'm gonna give you 3. The first one is Profit First. The second one is Pumpkin Plan. And the third one is Clockwork. And this is by a guy named Mike. Let me see if I can pronounce his last name. Michalowicz.
Okay.
You can find his books on Amazon and everywhere else for like $15 on average. And he has really good audiobooks too. And he tells you great stories that he's experienced firsthand, which is awesome to hear. And when you hear his voice and you read his books, you almost feel like you get to know him, which is pretty cool. And they have a great podcast where they interview people and stuff too. Profit First is going to help you with budgeting and money. Pumpkin Plan is going to help you with strategy and finding clients. And Clockwork is going to be great for building processes and automation and delegating to the right people and building your team and helping your team build a team. Does that make sense? Kind of building that hierarchy.
Yes, absolutely. Awesome. Those are great recommendations. And then what does your morning routine look like?
So I just had this conversation with me, myself, and I a couple of weeks ago. And so I feel like I do good when I build a routine and I follow through with that. And so I've built out my ideal routine, and I've put it in the bathroom on the mirror, and I've stickied on it. So I see it every night throughout the day or whatever. Okay, that's my routine. That's what I told myself and him, me, myself, and I, that we're going to stick with. So
yes.
We're all keeping myself accountable. So I'd like, my idea is to get up at 4:30 in the morning. I'm at the gym about 5. I'm out about 6:30, come home, take out the dogs, take care of myself, get up both my boys, get them off to school. I'm at the office about 8:30. And then most of the time by 8:30, 9 o'clock, I've kind of got like emails and like notifications from team members and stuff like that all taken care of. So that's kind of my normal morning routine. Almost every time I get to the office, I have an espresso bar here, because I've worked at 3 or 4 different coffee shops. And I think half of my blood is caffeine. So I've got a coffee bar. So that's part of my morning routine, is making like an Americano. So like, that's what I've got here.
Very good. Yeah. It sounds like a great morning routine. Get a nice early start and just dive into the day.
Yeah. And I get a few minutes with the boys before they go off to school and stuff like that. So
yes, of course. Very important. Is there a CEO that you follow or study?
There's a couple. One of the original people that I read the books of is Robert Kiyosaki and Rich Dad Poor Dad. I read that book probably 10 years ago.
Yes, such a classic.
My mother handed that one off to me. I really appreciate him and his perspectives on things. Seems like a very level-headed guy based on the books that he's read and any of the videos and stuff that he's in. I really like him. Grant Cardone and Gary Vee are kind of like the modern day guys. Grant Cardone when it comes to sales, and Gary Vee when it comes to marketing.
Totally. Yeah.
I think Gary Vee done a great job at some of the personal branding. He's a little extra at times, but I mean, it's great. I think what he's built is awesome. And then Grant Cardone does a really good job on some of the sales tactics and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. I love both of them as well. They're very inspiring. And what is your favorite online tool?
ClickUp. I don't know what to call it. It's so many different things. But we'll call it just a management app. I use that app for financials, for departments, for podcast. managing different episodes, when they're publishing, where the links are, who my guests are. And by using that app, like I said in the very beginning when we talked about communication and keeping a flow, it's important for Susie, the client, to understand and be able to communicate with Maddie, who is making the social media content, and to be able to line that work up with the guy who's going out to take photos, with a guy who's editing the video, and let's say me as the marketing manager of the account, to make sure that everything flows correctly.
Yep.
But there's one place to be able to house that and not lose email threads. So ClickUp is great for that.
Nice. Perfect. And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
I don't know how to answer that. I think it would have been to take it by yourself for a little while, not to be afraid to do that for a little bit longer, that you didn't need business partners. And I started all this with no funding either. So I built my own capital, which was about 20 grand at the very beginning. And I was like, cool, I've got enough to survive for the next few months. And I didn't have any expenses outside of myself. So I'm like, so long as I can pay myself like bare minimum and just live for a few months and build, great. Figuring out a way to validate the people that you surround yourself with and the time that you spend with them, or that's subcontractors, that's employees, and that's other companies or whatever it is. Kind of follow your gut, I think, is important. If I would have followed my gut a little bit earlier, and I would have, I don't know, like, I think it's also important to try to have a mentor. Like, if I had someone that was in my space, that was 10 years, 15 years ahead of me, to say, hey, you know, I was at where you're at, this is what I would do. this would be different. And so if anybody's wanting to start up like a business, I would just say, you know, don't be afraid to do some of the things yourself. Build a relationship with some of those people that you can have long term. Those are just some random thoughts, I guess. So I don't know if it's necessarily one thing. You know,
there's so many lessons that you learn along the way. But I love that. I love just, you know, taking advantage of other experiences that entrepreneurs have already gone through. You know, if there's an entrepreneur who's, you know, already grown an agency and they're where you want to be, you know, try and, you know, get in touch with them for a coffee date and just pick their brain. You know, what did you do for HR to boost your leads? And just, you know, take advantage of those resources.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Braden. It was a real pleasure to pick your brain and learn about your journey. So thank you again for joining me.
Absolutely. And I appreciate it, Julia.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.